I'm going to read in your hearing again the third chapter of Amos. We've considered up to the end of verse 3. I want to focus on verses 4 and 5 with brief reference to verse 6. But to capture the context of these two verses, even three, I'll read the 15 verses of Amos 3. Hear now the word of the Lord. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest, when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den, if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth, where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city when the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? Publish in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, Assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria. And behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, An adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, As the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. Here ends a reading from God's word. May you receive it as such. Please be seated. Despite the incorrect thinking of any non-believer who may have heard things I have said from this pulpit or privately, I'm not brain dead. For I know that my true and therefore correct declaration that I've made more than once, that anyone, regardless of who they are, will not understand anything correctly if they are not never-ending, believing students of the written word of God, the Holy Bible. Believing what it infallibly and inherently and accurately declares about all things. I know this true statement will not win me any awards for intelligence or wisdom in our unintelligent and foolish times, as seen by the foolish and unintelligent things that are both believed and practiced in America. For would the foolish ideas and practices embraced and practiced without shame in America today be believed and practiced if the Bible was read and actually believed? Would we have just gone through another celebration of Halloween if what was written and declared in the Bible about death and the judgment that follows death was actually believed in America? Because who knows what guffaws and raspberries unbelievers would lodge at my correct statement. But this incorrect attitude and action, possibly, toward my true statement, both bothers me and does not bother me. For such an incorrect attitude bothers me because it reveals the sobering condition of the soul of the one expressing such an attitude. The ideas and practices of non-believers should bother you, believer. For it reveals what they are, unbelievers. And unbelievers are on the wide road leading to destruction. But for more than one reason, their incorrect reaction to my correct statement does not bother me. Because I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. The day that the majority in America and in the American church give little thought to is seen by what is seen as important in America. But this foolish and wrong attitude does not bother me for other reasons as well. Even as I pray that the Lord would be pleased to deliver those expressing these guffaws and howls of ridicule towards this true statement. The primary reason is I have the Lord Jesus Christ on my side. I have the Lord Jesus Christ on my side. And friends, if the Lord Jesus Christ is on your side, which I hope he is, you need not fear the guffaws and the raspberries of the foolish unintelligent in America. Because Jesus believed the Bible. Jesus believed the Bible. He saw the Bible pointing to him, and he saw that he was the fulfillment of it. He believed the Bible as it related to him, and he testified to that truth. So when I've got Jesus on my side, believing the Word of God as it applied to him, and I can read the Word of God and see it speaking to my heart, and the non-believer guffaws and blows his raspberries, I say, as long as I got Jesus, I don't care what you think of me. Because to walk with Jesus in the light of his Word, what a glory he sheds on our way. And what does Paul say believers have? We have the mind of Christ. And what does he tell believers to do? To bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. The sinless Lord Jesus Christ in his sinless humanity both read and believed the Bible. Because what did he challenge the unbelieving lost religious leaders in Judea with more than once? Have ye not read the Scriptures? Jesus read and believed the Scriptures, and if your understanding of the Scriptures contradicts his, you are wrong. Regardless of the number of letters or numbers you can put before or after your name. The sinless Lord Jesus Christ read and believed what the Bible declared about him, because what do you see him doing after he rose from the dead? What do you hear him doing in Luke's gospel? Opening the Scriptures, the law, and the Psalms, and the prophets concerning himself. And he gave them understanding that they might see the Scriptures as they related to who? To him. If you don't see the written Word of God pointing you to and being fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not reading the Bible correctly or believing it. But since Jesus Christ is God's final word and final prophet, you should not be surprised, but expect that you would see the Old Testament prophets of God, like Amos, doing and saying similar things to what the Lord Jesus Christ did in his infallible and illuminating teaching ministry. Something that Amos does in the verses that I want to focus your attention on from Amos chapter 3, which illustrate the truth that if anyone is not reading and believing the Bible, they cannot understand or use anything correctly. Now, in order to show you this from these verses, I have to begin by declaring another truth. Another truth that will offend the unintelligent fools who profess to be wise, even as they do not do or have no desire to do what the Lord does through Amos in the verses I have reached in Amos 3. And I can even refer back to the verse I considered this morning. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Because unless you use what Amos does in the way Amos does, as I will show in a moment, you are not walking with God. And are in grievous disagreement with him, even in rebellion against him. For friends, it's not a mark of the wisdom of man, but his rebellion and folly to think He can use God's creation in any way that does not glorify and honor Him as Amos does. Amos uses things from God's creation. A lion, a young lion, a snared bird, to teach truth that those he was preaching to needed to see better. But I will ask you a question. Does the living, true, and only God of the Scriptures, the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of all things that have been, all things that are, and all things that ever will be, has this almighty and sovereign Creator given man the right to treat any of his creation in a way that does not glorify and honor him as the giver and sustainer of all things? Absolutely not. Because what does Paul give as one of the evidences of having been given over to a reprobate mind by God in Romans 1 for man's refusal to retain knowledge about him in their minds? It's a sobering list that I will not read fully, but I will end at the one that is important to see in light of how the Lord guides Amos to use his creatures in verses 5 and 6 of Amos 3, as I will show in a moment. Reading from Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, and I'll end here, inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. And inventors of evil things, friends, includes the wicked theories and ideas that men have invented in their wicked minds to reject God and His Word. If I might give you one supreme example, how many of you have ever heard of Charles Darwin? One of those wicked inventions of men was his Origin of Species. Or the preservation of the favored racists. Darwin was a racist. When are the woke people going to start calling Darwin a racist? That was an evil invention of Charles Darwin. To think he could take God's creation to deny God. Friends, has God, the living God, the true God, the only God, given to man the right to invent his false and God-dishonoring theories of himself? Or where man came from? Or where all things came from? Has God given man that right? No! Why? Because everything is to glorify him. Yet how many unintelligent and foolish rebel sinners think that they are intelligent and they are the wise men? Wise ones, as they promote and push all their false views about the origins of the universe, the origin of man, and everything else. Has the living God, the maker and sustainer of all things, given his universe and all his creatures as Play-Doh for the fallen rebel minds of men to be used to come up with all their false and God-dishonoring ideas about him and his creation? No. Friends, if you are not using God's creation to glorify and honor Him, you're rebelling against Him. And you're denying Him as the giver of every good and perfect gift that you are misusing and not using for His glory. Friends, how many in America are showing that they have been given over to a reprobate mind by God, not only the ones who have created their false displays in almost every science museum in this country, but all those who believe what they are being incorrectly told by these godless displays? For how many of you have gone to a God-dishonoring science museum to be confronted with displays by the inventors of evil things? And read about how animals evolved and how man evolved or how the universe came into existence? God has not given man the right to misuse his creation in this way. Amos used it correctly. He took the lion, he took the bird caught in the snare to teach things about the living God. Friends, if you read and believe the Bible, you know the heavens above your head are not Play-Doh for the reprobate mind. But the heavens above your head do something. And unbelieving man shows he does not believe it by his evil and wicked theories they have invented to deny what the heavens do. Friends, what do the heavens do? What do the heavens above your head do? They do this. They do this 24/7. They do this whether you turn the clock ahead or turn it back. It doesn't matter. What do the heavens do 24/7, 365 days of the year? The heavens declare the glory of God. That's their purpose. God did not give them so man could invent all their false God-dishonoring theories about them. Believer, remember something. God's creation, all of it, from the sun above your heads to the beetles and bugs you find crawling under a decaying piece of wood, are there for the glory of God. And they're there to teach you something about Him. Friends, to use something in a way not glorifying to God, or to make something not glorifying to God, is revealed in His written word and in the teaching and example of the Lord Jesus Christ and His holy prophets, is to be using God's creation in ways not ordained by Him. It's stealing from His glory. To whom all praise and thanksgiving belong. Think of it. Jesus, in His sinless humanity, never used His heavenly Father's good creation in a way that dishonored Him or did not point to Him in some wonderful way. What did He use? He used the lilies, didn't He? He used the lilies of the field. And He used the birds of the air to teach truth about God and His ability to provide for His people and His sovereignty over all things. Even as Amos uses the roaring of God's lions or the snaring of the Lord's birds to teach about God, as well as seen by the verses I've reached here in Amos 3. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? It's a question. No. Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Again, a question. No. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin or no snare is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have nothing at all? Now Amos will further expand on this in verse 6, but don't rush over what the Lord is doing through Amos here in verses 4 and 5. He is saying that the way a lion reacts to the prey that he has taken, he is saying that a bird falling into a snare has application to what the nation of Israel was going through. The lion roars because he has caught his prey. The bird is caught in the snare because someone has laid a trap for it. Israel, you would not be going through the difficult things you are going through, even the evil things you are going through, unless the Lord wasn't speaking to you through these things. He's trapped you, He's tripped you up, because the way of the wicked is not the way of peace. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Amos is being used of God to tell the people of Israel, you should be looking at everything through what is God telling me through what I'm going through. What is God telling me through a lion that roars? What is God telling me through a bird that is caught in a snare? But Friends, be honest with me. How many in America use all of God's fallen but good creation to teach them some truth they need to know, they need to remember, and they need to believe about God as taught in His wonderful written word? The majority in America, and in how much of the church in America, are not walking in agreement with God because they do not believe that God speaks to man through His creation. In fact, the exact opposite is the case. Men labor to invent their false, their foolish, and their dangerous explanations of things without any reference to God, denying Him and blaspheming Him in the process. Because how many in America will use God's animals, as Amos does with the lion, to teach them something about God? How many will use God's birds to teach them something about God? How many zoology or biology textbooks are filled with the God-dishonoring lie of evolution and not how God's creatures can teach us something about our Creator? His awesome creative ability and power, His ability to use the characteristics of a lion or of a bird caught in a snare to teach us truth that we need to know. Amos uses the reaction of a lion to catching its prey and a bird caught in a snare to get those he was raised up to preach to by the Lord to think theocentrically. Oh, that's a big word. Theocentrically, God-centered, to be God-centered in your thinking on all things and about what they were going through. What does what a lion does when it has prey tell you about God? And what is God saying to you through what you are going through? The lion roars because he has caught his prey, but it has not gone well for the prey he has taken. Things are not going well for you because you're rebelling against me and not listening to me. There is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked. A bird is caught in a snare because it did not see it properly. Because what bird would knowingly fly into a snare in order to get caught? You would not be going through the difficulties and trials that you were going through if you were looking at things correctly, which the majority in America are not doing. Because be honest, friends, be honest with me here. Even in the church, who acknowledges the hand of the Lord in the fires in California? Not on MSNBC and CNN and Fox News, but in how many churches would it be offensive to those listening, and a preacher would never preach on the truth that the fires in California are under the sovereign hand of our Almighty God? How many in America would be offended at what I've just said? But friends, if He's not sovereign over those fires, we're in trouble. Not only that, the spring floods in the Midwest, and early snows a couple of weeks back, they're saying has decimated the crops. Late planting, and they weren't able to harvest. What's God saying, friends, through that to America and the American church? Yet how many never hear that? Not only in America, but in the church. That's why I've titled this series, The Unknown God of Amos. God doesn't have anything to do with the fires in California. God doesn't have anything to do with the floods in the spring in the Midwest and the early snow that decimated the harvest. That dangerous misapplied term, climate change, is the reason, friends, isn't it? That's the reason. God? Climate change has become the idol Americans are bowing down to. The dangerous misapplied term climate change is an invention of evil minds, of men laboring to banish God, the God who is speaking through these things to the idolaters and rebels in America and in the world today. For I ask you a simple question. In all the constant paranoia you have heard, are hearing, and will continue to hear about something that happens every day. Friends, what happens every day? What happens every day? The climate changes. The climate changes. But in all the constant paranoia you have heard, are hearing, and will continue to hear about climate change, how often have you heard this simple question reflecting a belief in the Bible and the God of the Bible? What and what God does through Amos? What is God saying to mankind through the climate change that he is paranoid over? Because God speaks through his lions. God speaks through a snared bird. He speaks through his creation. What is God saying to paranoid America over the idol called climate change? Amos uses the roaring of a lion to teach you something about God. Amos uses the snaring of a bird to teach you something about God. God uses his climate to teach you something about himself in relation to men who continue to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because friends, be honest, according to the majority in America, even in the church, God is not saying anything to 21st century man through his climate. Be honest. I don't think I need fear having to give any of you money if I say, okay, I'll give you a dollar for every time next week you hear the statement and all the weather forecasts. What is God saying to America in the weather? I don't think I'll have to open my wallet, because friends, I don't think you'll hear it. All you'll ever hear about is climate change and the paranoia associated with it. And think of it from this perspective, friends. Even in this increasingly dark country where wildfires and floods, there was a time when these things were referred to as what? Acts of God. Acts of God. That was a term that the insurance companies would use. They're acts of God. You don't hear insurance companies using those terms anymore, acts of God. What you hear is the insurance companies are getting out of California because it's too expensive there. But have you heard anyone other than some radical Bible preacher even say this today? God's lions with prey can be used to teach you truth you need to know about God and the times you are living in. Snared birds can be used to teach you truth about God and the times you are living in. How many evil teachings have been invented and are being invented so that sinner man can continue to deny the truth that God is saying, what God is saying to man through what is happening in God's creation? Because friends, the Lord uses all of his creation, even in its fallen and cursed condition, to point you to truth about him or truth you need to hear. Are you listening to him? I ask you, do you hear him speaking through the dead rabbit on the side of the road? Do you hear him speaking through the dead rabbit on the side of the road? Death is the destiny of all living things in this dying world. If it wasn't for man's sin, you would never see a dead animal on the side of the road. If I had never sinned, I would never have to had to confront death in all its various forms. Friends, as beautiful as the leaves are falling off all the trees, Every leaf that you're going to have to rake up or already have is testimony to the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world. If man had never sinned, there would never have been death. Do we use all of God's creation to teach us what He shows us from His Word, what it should be teaching us? Praise the Lord that because of Christ's finished work for His sinful people, I have the hope of a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness will dwell forever and the lion will lie down with the lamb and not roar because it has taken its prey. Oh, brethren, you live in a depraved world that invents all kinds of evil things, even the mantra of climate change, to suppress the truth that the God of all creation speaks to men through all of His creation. Are you hearing Him speak? Are you listening to His voice? Blessed are you if you are doing both. Are you blessed today? Because you know God speaks even through a dead rabbit on the side of the road. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, if you do not open our eyes, we will not see. If you do not unstop our ears, we will not hear. If you do not change our hearts, we will not hear what you are saying through your lions, through your birds, through your leaves, through your weather, through your fire, through your floods, through your snow, through your sun, through your clouds, through everything. Give us the wisdom to say, Lord, I am a creature redeemed in the precious blood of the Lamb who wants to hear what my Creator, Sustainer, and only Redeemer is saying to me through the creation that you are maintaining. Because in Him all things consist. In Him all things are held together, even the fires, even the floods. O Lord God, give us ears to hear what you are teaching us through your creation, and have mercy on a nation of men who do not want to hear that God is speaking. Help us never to be ashamed of acknowledging the truth that you are the God who is speaking through the stormy wind that raises up and burns acres. But you are also speaking in mercy and grace through your Son. May those enduring such a display of how easy you can turn our lives upside down, may you have mercy upon all those in California and show them that they need Christ. May they seek Him by your grace, and we will praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.